inside you. He's put instruments inside you. He's given you a voice. He's given you lungs. He's given you songs. And these are here, friends, to adore the Lord and to worship Him and to bless the Lord. So I just want to encourage you today to be a worshiper and see the hand of God just come upon your life. When you begin to worship God and praise Him and adore Him, amazing things are going to happen. Sometimes miracles just break out when you worship Him. I remember when I lived in Zimbabwe, I'd been to South Africa on holiday. I'd been swimming in the hot springs, and I got a terrible boils in my ear. It was really painful. And I remember hitchhiking back from South Africa and arriving back in Zimbabwe, going to my house. I knelt by my bed, and I just spent some time worshiping the Lord and adoring the Lord, just thanking Him and blessing Him. Even though I was in pain and I wasn't asking for any healing, I just was worshiping the Lord. Suddenly, God just touched me in the ear. And this heat came into my ear. This hot oil just came into my ear. And I was totally delivered from the boils. I didn't put any medication, didn't see a single doctor. All those boils were just totally removed by the power of God. Amen. Jesus is a healer. Jesus can heal you. I wasn't even asking for it. Just worshiping the Lord, something's going to happen in your life. You start to worship the Lord, start to give thanks to the Lord, start to give praise to the Lord, miracles are going to break out in your life. So friend, be a worshiper today, and in the coming days, see what God is going to do through His worshiping people. Amen. Because that's what He's called us to, is to worship the Lord and to enjoy Him forever. Well, praise God, that's just an introduction to the message today. And I'm going to be speaking from the second book of Kings, chapter 5. 2 Kings, chapter 5. And reading from verse 1, and it's talking about a mighty man called Naaman. And this man was a heathen, but he was a mighty man. He lived in Syria, had a different name in the Bible days, but Aram, I think it was called. And he was the commander of the king's army. And so Naaman was an incredible guy. He was a top guy, well respected. He was pretty much, he had won a victory for his nation, a military battle, and he come out victorious. And so he was just like, he was revered in the nation. He was respected. He was honored. He was the commander of the king's army in Syria, and he was very charismatic, very loved, and very blessed. And also the Bible says that he was a valiant man, and so he had a lot of things going for him: a powerful guy, influential guy, and a military strategist and a military leader. And the Bible actually says that it was the Lord that gave him the victory. So he didn't know that. He was being used by God and didn't even realize that. Isn't that amazing that God sometimes works through us even though we don't love Him and don't know Him? God is working out His purposes in the earth. And so Naaman was a great military commander. However, he had some problems in his life. That's right. You know, he was a man who had leprosy. And the Bible says that he was all of these wonderful things. However, he had leprosy. Now, I don't know if you know much about leprosy, but it's a real curse. There's still about 180,000 people in our world today who have leprosy, mostly in Africa and Asia. It's a real curse of a disease. And basically, it's a bacteria that gets into your body, begins to eat your body, begins to eat your nose, your eyes, your face, your hands. Your fingers could drop off, your nose could drop off. It's a hideous disease. And it begins to eat your body. It can begin to eat your organs as well. It just slowly eats your body away. It is a real curse. And it is something that is despised. And it is a vile disease. Still a work in our world today, but nowhere near as much as how it was in the Bible days. And in fact, in Israel, it was big in Israel as well. And it's a contagious disease, although not highly contagious. But here is a man, he's mighty, he's powerful, and suddenly he's afflicted with leprosy. Now, friends, there was no cure for leprosy at all. There was, no matter what you did, medication, it wasn't going to help you. In fact, what you had to do when it got bad is you had to go into isolation. You had to go and live on your own. You had to go and separate yourself from people because it was contagious. So it became a lonely life. And you could have this disease for 20 or 30 years. So Naaman knew that he was cursed with this sickness. He knew that he was diseased. And it was a terrible thing. However, you know, the Bible tells us that Naaman had a slave girl that they had captured on one of their military campaigns. And she was a young girl from Israel. And she came to work for Naaman's wife. And so she worked as their slave or their maid. And she served them as a people. And one day she said, if only, she said to her mistress, she said, if only my master would go to Israel and see the prophet in Israel, he would be healed. Well, of course, any news like that is good news, isn't it? You know, when we find that there's a cure for cancer, when we find that, you know, there's a cure for our situation, it gives you hope, doesn't it? And so that's exactly what Naaman did. His wife told him of what the young Israeli girl said, and he went to the king and he said, look, you know, I want to go to Israel, I want to visit the prophet, and maybe I'll be healed. And the king gave his blessing, and he gave him a lot of riches to take with him. And so he took a lot of riches and lots of talents of silver. I think it was 10 talents of silver and lots of gold and beautiful clothes as well. So I think it was at least, trying to work it out with today's money, at least £500,000, probably a lot more. But it was a significant amount. In fact, the Bible says it was 340 kilograms of silver and 70 kilograms of gold. Wow, that was a lot of money. And he was bringing that gift with him to the king of Israel to say, you know, I've heard there's a man in your country, he lives in Samaria, I heard there's a prophet, and I've come to be healed. Well, the king of Israel was just insulted. The king of Israel was like, who am I to raise the dead? Who am I to heal the sick? And was disgusted, and so he thought, oh, okay, fine, I'm on my way home. But in the meantime, Elisha, the prophet who lived in Samaria, he heard about this, and he said to the king, why didn't you send him to me? Because I would have prayed for him, and I would have given him the healing that he wanted. And so Naaman heard about this and arrived at Elisha's door. Do you know, friends, it's a good thing when you arrive at a prophet's door. Because a prophet of God is somebody who speaks the word of the Lord. And Elisha was about to give him the words of life. And when we arrive at the people of God and they're speaking the word of God, it's life-changing. You know, somebody once said, one word from God can change your life forever. Now here's this man, he's sick. He arrives with an entourage of soldiers, chariots, horses. He brings this wealth. And here is the man of God, Elisha. He arrives at Elisha's door. Well, Elisha didn't even open the door. He sent a servant, and he brought all these gifts. He said, these are the gifts I brought from Syria for Elisha. And Elisha said, I don't want any of it. I don't want a single thing. I don't want a single penny. I don't want a single piece of clothing. I don't even want a single kilogram of gold. Just keep your wealth. But here is what the Lord says. Go to the river of Jordan and dip in it 7 times. Yeah, that's right. Go to the filthy, dirty, muddy river of Jordan and go and wash yourself 7 times. Well, first and foremost, Naaman was offended because Elisha didn't even come and see him. He was offended. He thought, I've come all this way from Syria. It's taken me probably weeks to get there. And here's this prophet of God. I've come specially with all these amazing gifts, with a whole entourage, because I'm a mighty man. He can't even see me. And so he's offended. And so the second thing is he was offended with was, why is he asking me to bathe in a filthy river? Because the River Jordan was a muddy river, and it could be very murky and very dirty. And he was like, there are rivers in my own country that I could wash in, and that would be no problem. Why is he asking me to wash in a dirty river? And he was offended for the second time. So he's like, I'm out of here. And the Bible says he was filled with anger, and he was filled with rage. And he decided, I'm out of here. I'm going back to Syria. It's been a wasted journey. Now, thankfully, some of Naaman's servants stopped him and said, look, if the prophet had asked you to do a difficult thing, wouldn't you have done it? You know, it was almost like he said, if he'd asked you to climb Mount Everest, you know, you would have done it. If he had asked you to do something really difficult, you would have done it. But he's asking you to do a simple thing. Just wash in the dirty river. Why don't you reconsider? And so Naaman, the Bible says, reconsidered, and he humbled himself. You see, he was a proud man. He was a victorious man. He was a man of valor. He'd be used to giving orders. Now he's receiving an order from the Lord. Now he's receiving a message from the prophet. The prophet won't even see him. The prophet won't even go out to him. He won't even accept his gifts. He just says, this is what you've got to do. Isn't it amazing sometimes that God asks us to do something? It's so stupid. It's so simple. It seems so insignificant. But actually, it's the solution for our problem. And I don't know what that situation is in your life. Maybe he's asking you to do something. Who ever imagined that God would save the world through a cross? Through the death of his son on the cross? It seems total foolishness. But yet this is God's tool and God's method of winning the world, is that we have to just believe in Jesus and accept the love of God and accept the fact that Jesus was crucified on a cross to save us, and that is what's going to save us. It seems ludicrous, but it is the truth, and it saves people all over the world. I thank God for the cross of Jesus. That's where I went to when I was 19 and asked the Lord to forgive me and say, Father, forgive me. I do believe in Jesus. It's such a simple, almost foolish thing, but God chooses the foolish things. You know, here's a little girl. She's from Israel. She's a slave. She's speaking. She's going to give her master the message to say, if only you could go to Israel and see the prophet, you'd be healed. Now he gets there and he's offended. And he's a proud man, he's an angry man, and he's just decided, I'm not gonna go and dip in this filthy Israeli river. But his servants stop him and say, look, reconsider. And he reconsiders and he humbles himself. You know what, friends? The Bible said God resists the proud. You know, when we become arrogant, we become proud, and when we become angry, it's difficult for God to move. He resists people like that. But the Bible says he loves people with humility. And we see that in the life of Jesus. You know, Jesus is not coming in a white horse. He's not coming in a military horse. When he comes into this world, when he's born in a stable. He's not born in a beautiful hotel or a beautiful hospital. He's born in an animal stable. That's humility, friends. And through his life, we see that he walks in a place of humility. Although he's God, he is walking in humility. And so he's walking, and especially we've just had Easter, and coming up to Easter is Palm Sunday, and we see Jesus is on a little donkey, and he's going through the streets of Jerusalem, and they're shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna to the King of Kings, Hosanna to the Lord of Lords, Hosanna in the highest, the Lord saves, the Lord saves. And they're just throwing their palm branches and their clothes in front of Jesus. But he's in humility. He's just in a little donkey. And so he's showing us that how God works is through humility. He's going to work in your life when you humble yourself and say, yes, I'm going to get baptized in that dirty river. And let's face it, this is talking about baptism. You know, it's incredible. I'll come to that in a minute. It's an amazing story. But here is Nathan. He rejects his anger. He rejects his pride. He humbles himself. He says, okay, let's get down in the river. He goes down in the river and he washes in the river once. Nothing happens. And then he goes back down again and he washes three times. Eventually, he washes seven times. The Bible says when he came out the seventh time, how beautiful his skin was. His skin was just like a little boy's skin. Beautiful, fresh, clean, perfect. God does miracles. Amen. Our God does miracles. Praise God. He does awesome things. He is still doing miracles today. God heals people. He healed my ear. He's healed me on other occasions. I've seen him heal other people. People have been healed of cancer in this church. People have been healed of afflictions. We had a young man here who had a stutter for 40 years. He was prayed for in our church by an evangelist called Alex T. And he received his healing, and he still has his healing today. Our God does miracles. He is mighty to save. He is awesome. He's got power that you cannot imagine. The Bible says he is filled with power. Our God, when we do what he wants us to do, will do miracles in our lives. And I don't know what you're expecting God to do, but he wants to do a miracle for you. He wants to do something incredible for you. And you just need to obey the word of the Lord. What is God saying to you today? What is he asking you to do? What is he whispering in your ear? God can do incredible things. God wants to do miracles in your life. He wants to heal your body.
He wants to heal you from affliction. He wants to take away the distress. He wants to bring love into your life. He wants to bring blessing into your life. What is your need today? Cry out to God, and God will hear your cry. And so here we see that Naaman humbled himself. Before the miracle was humility. Before the miracle was obedience. That's right. Yes, obedience. If you want a miracle from God, you've got to obey the word of the Lord. And the word of the Lord was, go and wash in the river Jordan 7 times. Seems so stupid. Seems so crazy. It's a dirty river. There's nothing magical about the river. There's no properties in the river that's going to heal him. But it's the obedience, and it's the word of the prophet. God speaks through his prophets. Amen. If God's going to speak, he's going to speak through his prophets. There are still prophets in the earth today. There's the ministry of the prophetic. There's the ministry of the prophet, the evangelist, the pastor, the teacher. And all of these gifts are here. And the apostle as well. They're here in the earth today. Jesus hasn't removed them. And if we want to hear a word from the Lord, let the prophet speak so that we can receive the word of the Lord. Because God speaks. If he's going to speak, he will speak through the prophets. And it was a simple thing. But praise God. Naaman was obedient. He went down in the water. And when he came out, he went back to see the prophet. This is what the Bible tells us. He went back to see the prophet. And he said, I'm just absolutely amazed. And these are the words that he spoke. These are incredible words that he spoke. And these are probably the most amazing verses in this passage in 2 Kings chapter 5. Then Naaman and all the attendants went back to the man of God. He stood before him and said, now listen to this, now I know that there is no God in all the world except in Israel. Hallelujah. Jesus the Messiah came out of Israel. The prophets of God came out of Israel. Israel was a holy nation. They were to show the world, this is how you live. This is how God has called you, to be separated, to be holy, to be a light to the Gentiles. So Israel was chosen as a small nation to bring light into the world. And that's exactly what it has done. When Christ came, he was born in Israel. He was born in Bethlehem. He lived in Israel. So he brought a light to the Gentiles. And even to the people of Israel at that time. He brought the light of God. And so here, Elisha is a type of Christ. Elisha is saying, this is what you got to do. If you want your healing, then you can be saved. Then you can be healed of your affliction. But friends, this is the other thing that's really important for us to know. Is that leprosy really is a type of sickness, yes. But it is typifying sin in our world. That's what leprosy represents. Really, in the Bible times, whenever people had leprosy, they used to shout out, unclean, unclean. They used to go and live in leper colonies, and they would isolate themselves. There was terrible stigma, terrible rejection, because it was considered that they were like cursed, and they were not blessed people because they had this terrible disease. And it was a type of sin. It was a type, it was showing people, look, this is just like sin. It comes to eat away at your life. It comes to just begin to chew a little bit on your skin, and it tries to get into you. And the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And praise God, you know, we have a Savior, and his name is Jesus. And we have somebody who came to wash our sins away. And here is Naaman, and he is going down in the river. He's going down. He's probably thinking, "What? I hope this is going to work today." Maybe some of you are thinking, "You know, I hope what I'm doing is going to work." Well, friends, there's always hope. Every time you obey the word of the Lord, something's going to happen. Something's going to happen in your life when you obey the word of the Lord. You have to obey what God says. What is God saying to you? Is he telling you to dip in the river? Is he telling you to get baptized? And here is Naaman. He's in the river. What is God asking you to do? Whatever it is, obey it. Because obedience brings blessing. Amen. Obedience will always bring blessing. So here is Naaman. He's in the river. 7th time he comes up. His skin is beautiful. He is ecstatic. He goes back to the man of God. And here he says, look, I'm healed. This is incredible. Please accept a gift. The prophet is like, I don't want anything. This is the Lord's work. I'm not accepting any of that. Incredible, isn't it? Isn't it incredible? He accepted nothing. He just lived in his humility. He said, I'm not accepting any gift. So Naaman said, well, one thing please grant me. Let me take some soil, some Israeli soil, back to Syria, as much as a mule can carry. And there I want to set up an altar to the Lord, because I know that there is no God in the world except the God of Israel. And friends, I'm telling you it's the same today, that Jesus Christ is absolutely matchless. Jesus Christ, Yahweh, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, the triune God, he is absolutely matchless. No other God can compare to him. He is number one. He is the top. He is the most high. And I love this heathen commander. He's saying there is no other God in the world except the God of Israel. Friends, it's still the same today. The God of Israel still rules and reigns in the affairs of men. He still rules and reigns in heaven above. He is seated in heaven, and he wants to know you as a friend. He wants to know you, to have fellowship with you, and he wants to have communion with you. Just need to open up your heart and say, Lord, I want you to come into my life. Lord, I want to receive this living God from Israel. Lord, I just want to know you. And you just need to open up your heart and say, Lord, come into my life today. You can say that prayer right now, right where you're sitting, wherever you are. You can say, Lord, come into my life. I want to know the God of Israel. I want to know your forgiveness. And so when Naaman goes into the water, listen what happens. He is cleansed from all leprosy. Can you imagine getting a cure for leprosy by dipping in a river? Who ever thought that the blood of Jesus would wash all your sins away? Whoever could have imagined that the Bible says that the blood of Christ that he shed on the cross washes your sins away? It's hard to believe, friends. Absolutely hard to believe.
Sorry about the technical hitch there. I don't know exactly what's wrong, but let's continue with the message this morning. Just talking about the power of cleansing for Naaman. He's in the river and he's hoping this is going to work, and praise God, it works. You know, if you've ever been sick and been healed and got your health back, it's something to praise God for. It's something just to rejoice. If you've been ill and you got healed, it's an amazing thing. But friends, there is one thing worse than leprosy. And the Bible tells us about this thing called sin. It has come into our world when Adam and Eve sinned against God. This sin has come into our world. And the Bible says in Romans 3:23, for all have sinned. David in the Psalms, I think Psalm 51, says, in my mother's womb I was conceived in iniquity. So we need to be redeemed and saved from something like leprosy on the outside. It's sin on the inside. And we need the cleansing to sort out our sin. This is what happens, is that if you've been outside, you've been playing rugby, you've been rolling around in the mud, what do you do with your clothes? You put them in the washing machine, you wash them. What do you do if your body is filthy? And you have a shower, you have a bath, you wash your body, you take away the mud and the dirt. And friends, I just want to say this today, that the Bible says the blood of Jesus washes all our sins away. It washes you on the inside. It washes your mind. It washes your heart. It washes you clean. Jesus didn't die on the cross for nothing. He died to take away the sin of the world. He was crucified to remove the stain of sin. Here is something that's worse than cancer. It's worse than the coronavirus. It's worse than leprosy. It's called sin, the sin of mankind. And Jesus came to remove our sin on the cross. There on the cross, he bled and died for your sin and for mine. Whatever it is, friend, ask him to forgive you today. He died on the cross to remove and remit your sin. That is, as far as the east is to the west, so far will he remove our transgressions from us. So today, friend, I just want to say to you, you know, God may not be asking you to dip in a river seven times, but he is asking you to repent of your sins. He is asking you to turn away and to be washed in the blood of Jesus. Say, how can that happen? It happens by faith. You believe by faith. You say, Lord, I want to be washed in the blood of Jesus. That pure blood that Jesus shed will wash your sins away. The Bible says that if we confess our sins, he is just and faithful and will cleanse us from all unrighteousness through the blood of Jesus. So you just need to ask him to forgive you today, to give you a fresh start, to give you a new start. If you don't know Christ today, if you don't know the Lord Jesus as Lord and Savior, then you need to ask him to come into your heart and wash your heart clean. So a lot of people think, you know, I'm okay, I've never sinned, I'm a good person. Well, have we ever lied? Yeah, of course we have. That makes us a liar. Have we ever cheated? Yes, that makes us a cheater. Have we ever blasphemed? Of course we have. Have we ever lusted? Yes, of course we have. You know, the list goes on. You know, so none of us are guiltless. We all need cleansing. We all need the forgiveness of God. So friends, today is the day of salvation. And I want to pray with you this morning that God will just remove any anger, any pride, any sin that's blocking you and God, and ask him to come into your life. So it's going to ask you now to bow your head in prayer and ask the Lord Jesus to come right now. So Heavenly Father, I pray for all those who are listening to my voice. Father, I just pray if they've never received Christ as their Lord and Savior, that today would be the day. Father, I just pray, Lord, for someone who may be listening, who's lonely, who's isolated, who may feel like they have leprosy, or they have some sickness, or some disability, or some disease. And Lord, I know you can heal their hearts. I know you can heal physically, and I know you can heal spiritually. Lord, you healed Naaman, this pagan commander, this heathen man. He didn't know the God of Israel, but Lord, we praise you that he came to know you. And Lord, he was baptized in the Jordan, the same river that Jesus himself was baptized in. So I want to thank you, Lord, that we can all have faith because we've all been given a measure of faith. And I pray for those listening today that if they haven't received your forgiveness, that right now, Lord, they'll say, Lord Jesus, come into my heart, come into my life, cleanse me of my sin, make me new, Lord, give me a fresh start. I want to feel freedom. I want to feel your love. I want to receive the goodness of God. So if that's you, friend, right now, ask him to come in. Say, I believe in Jesus Christ. I believe he died on the cross for me. I believe he was buried, and on the third day he rose again. I put my faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I pray that God will meet with you today in a mighty way in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, please get in contact with us through Facebook or through our website at Chippenham Christian Fellowship, and let us know if you've made that decision for the first time. It's the greatest decision anybody could ever make in the world, is to receive Christ and, like Naaman, be washed of leprosy, washed of our sin. So friends, I thank you for joining with us today. This is a great story. I hope you'll take the story with you and remember the day that God cleansed Naaman, the Syrian commander, and how he can cleanse us from our sin too. So I just pray God's blessing upon you today and God's blessing upon you this week in the name of Jesus. And so friends of Chippenham Christian Fellowship and others who want to donate to the work that we're doing, we're just going to bring our offerings to the Lord now and bring our gifts to the Lord. So Father, we just pray right now as we are listening to this message, Father, we also want to bring our gifts into the house of the Lord. We want to bring our gifts to you, Father. We want to say thank you for healing us. Thank you for saving us. Thank you, Lord, for the good things you've done in our lives. Thank you for our friends and families, for our homes. Thank you for our vehicles. Thank you, Father, for giving us health and strength. And so, Father, thank you for every blessing we have in Jesus Christ. And Lord, right now, Father, we bring our gifts into the house of the Lord. Right now, we bring our gifts to you, Father. We say, please, would you accept these gifts, Lord? Please, would you accept our gifts this morning? We bring them to you, Father, in Jesus' name. We pray you will be glorified in our gifts today, in Jesus' name. So, friends, if you want to give, there's a variety of ways to give. And please check out our website if you want to give, and check out the details. of just giving to the Lord. And I know many of you have set up direct debits and different ways of giving. We're looking at new ways of being able to give to the work of the Lord. So thank you for your gifts today, and bless you. Have a great week. And I just pray that you'll be able to join us next Sunday again. And God bless each and every one of you. Amen.